Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
From the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN. It's brought to you tonight by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalesian.
Come get some.
Do it.
Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
He better not be touching any of my candy.
And to Don.
I'm just the update guy.
And to Don.
Our back? Get it?
See? Makes you laugh. You don't know why, but it makes you laugh.
Michael, he played that for us during a break. It was... I only heard the first minute, but I was staring into space,
He played the first minute. You gotta listen to the whole
full
thing.
5 minutes.
And Jacobs was really showing his cubes by just stopping.
Yeah, he had enough. By the way, he probably was thinking, I got to do commercials here. What are we going to do?
He was making a statement.
I agree with the statement.
But part of the reason it's funny is that it's not funny for the first minute, then it becomes funny. But I get it. We're very impatient group.
I'll call you back in an hour. Hour? Back? Get it?
Yeah, no, I don't get it.
And good evening to Michael and myself.
I'm going
to
start off a little Yankees.
Great.
Have you ever heard Don's laugh perfectly fade like that? I've never heard that. The volume perfectly decreased. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
I'm going to start off a little Yankees.
Great.
Yeah, we're going to have a rough winter.
Well, I'm gonna have to start sucking it up here because the Jets are not gonna make it possible here. They're just not. So, now speaking of the Jets, Garrett Wilson. I don't know if you guys know, he has a spot with Barton Hahn every week.
Yes, they Zoom that too.
Oh yeah, they do because he's a professional. He explained his quote about being quote tired.
It's not about me. First of all, that made it sound like it was about me. And I just meant more of I'm tired of us as a team not playing, the way that we should be. Us as an offense, let me correct that, playing the way we should be. And I just took to Twitter because I don't want that to go around. Obviously, I love this fan base, this team, and, everything that comes with being a New York Jet. And, if there's something that I see is out that may give someone a different idea than that, I'm going to make sure I'm correcting it. So that's all that was.
Oh, I get it.
We certainly get it.
We're all tired.
How about the self-inflicted wounds there on offense, G-Dubs?
They're talking about pre-snap penalties, whether it's lining up wrong, a procedural or false start, offside, whatever it may be, and just shooting yourself in the foot, not even giving yourself a chance. In this league, every yard is precious. It's truly a game of inches, and that's kind of just a little saying I threw to the side until you get to the league and you really realize, this really is a game of inches. And when you're doing stuff like that, your chances of winning drop exponentially. We put the ball on the ground too much the last 2 weeks. We turned the ball over. So, there's a lot of reasons why we're not, playing the way we want to on offense. I think a lot of things, end up leading to self-inflicted wounds, things that we got to fix during the practice week.
Well, I'll tell you what, they took one step. They released Michael Carter, who had a really good season a couple of years ago.
That was quick.
And was a high draft pick. and what was it, second or third round? And they just cut him because he did a cut block that was a big penalty. Didn't play the rest of the game, and now will never play again. And they didn't have to release him. They could have just made him inactive the rest of the year, but they released him. So that was them trying to send a message that they're done with the. But you know, are they gonna do anything to Osama? Are they gonna do anything to Lazard? They made huge errors too. So it's always easy. Let's cut the guy on the lowest part of the totem pole when he makes a mistake.
Sort of what I was thinking, all due respect, it sort of seems like a sacrificial lamb.
That's exactly what it is. We're going to prove a point with a guy that's not that important.
Yeah, like, because he's not the only person making bad decisions here.
Yeah, it seems like they zeroed in on that one thing.
By the way, I'm going to change subject for a second. Do you... can we spend a moment on a couple of the moments that Russell Wilson had last night? Isn't football crazy? You can go from thinking that someone's completely done to he had that ridiculous touchdown pass, right? But you know what play I love from Russell Wilson? That what ended up being essentially the game-winning play, the third down blitz that he just chucked up in the air a mile high, knowing that the receiver coming back to get it would probably draw a penalty. That was just smart football by Russell Wilson. I mean, he's not the guy he used to be, but he had glimmers again last night. And God, was that a poor game by the Bills in every single facet.
Just the turnovers.
The turnovers were brutal. They could not keep the ball in their hands. Don, at the end of the game, you finally get the sack they needed to really knock them out of field goal range and maybe end the game. The next play, they get the pass interference. Then the football gods give you a missed field goal, and you have 12 men on the field. That would be a game that if you're a fan at, a Monday night game, cold, annoying, you have work the next day, everything about it is challenging, and the team just completely hands it away.
And so yet, they fire Ken Dorsey, their offensive coordinator, and they name Joe Brady the interim. And I believe that Brady is the genius behind Burrow was at LSU.
Right.
He's going to have to do some work with Josh Allen. He's not the same quarterback.
Well, they have not been quite the same offense, even though we know that the year after Dable, Josh Allen still had a great statistical season. They have not offensively been as good as they were with Dable, though Dable hasn't been what you'd call fantastic this year as well. Moving on, you guys want some you want some Sleepy Tom Bobos?
Sure, why not?
All right, as you know, the Knicks lost to the Celtics. Let's hear what Sleepy Tom Bobos has to say.
Just closing out the quarters. We didn't close out any quarters as well as we should have or could have. That was probably the biggest thing. I think we were up 8 with 3 minutes to go. Same thing happened at the end of the first and then at the end of the third.
What about Tatum, coach?
Great player. Try to make him work. I thought Josh, Quentin, they were there. He's got the ability to make. Take a look at the film, see what we could do better.
Not exactly high energy.
Whew.
But boy, are they a different team without Barrett.
Barrett questionable today, by the way.
They're not tomorrow. Playing today. He's just like
questionable
life.
For
he's questionable today for life.
No, questionable for tomorrow. Well, today, questionable for mañana against the Hawks.
So. Well, aren't we all?
You never know what's going to happen.
Because
tomorrow.
if we're all day to day, then we certainly are all questionable for tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow, though, Atlanta
at Atlanta,
and then the play the in season tournament in Washington.
Oh, throw out the record books.
What does the Wizards court look like, Peter?
I don't know. Don't know what color they're making that. What would be my guess? Blue.
Yeah, blue. I think it's going to be blue. I'm sure I can find
Don, are you going to be doing any road vehicles or no?
Not all, right all now. No, vehicles. None scheduled. Like, I think I'm just I'm a homer.
Adam Silver. Where is this Adam Silver cut from, Anthony?
April. I don't know.
No, where? Where, I said, not when.
I think it was a Boston broadcast.
All right, here's Adam Silver with some thoughts on how his league is covered by the media.
we can all do a better job, and again, I'm not just pointing to the media here, is talking more about the game. And I also, my frustration a bit, I think sometimes that the color commentary in our games gets reduced to this team wanted it more, or, you know, this team tried harder, as opposed to, like, there's really complex defenses. Like, what's the offense? Like, why is this team losing the way they are? Like, why is this team successful? Explain what the pick and roll is. Explain, you know, it's funny, as our friend Chris Paul is always saying, you know, what does ice mean? What does blue mean? Like, explain what's happening on the court, because I think there is this sense that, unlike in football, where the coaches are viewed as these field generals going out there with the complex schemes, then in basketball, there's a sense that it's just about athleticism, you know, or, you know, somehow the coach's job is just to get the guys to play hard, as opposed to these incredibly sophisticated defenses, offenses. I think, use another network example. I think Kenny Smith, when he goes to that board, is a great example of helping explain the game visually, graphically to people to understand what's happening on the floor.
Well, Sylvie, your problem is with your players. They're the ones who say they wanted it more. Even coaches say, well, they played harder. Not the media. We're quoting them.
Wow.
Tell your players.
Guys, my conspiracy theory.
Go ahead.
When we as a company did not bring back Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, my conspiracy theory was that it was motivated by the league. I've never been more sure of that in my life after that cut.
Why?
He's critiquing the color commentary of the broadcasts in the NBA, and two of the best at it were not brought back, and we still don't know why.
So he's
listening. He's paying attention to what's being said.
Careful, Don.
I'm just being, the amount of money that exchanges hands, I'm sure all of these leagues have eyeballs and hands and ears on all of these broadcasts, but for him to be able to critique that the color commentators are not doing their job by really educating the listeners and the viewers on the game, that tells me he is very opinionated on it. And didn't we think that those were two of the best? And they were very opinionated. And I thought they broke down the game very well. But I think
he meant all media, though. I wasn't just talking about color commentators.
Well, but that's who usually breaks down the game.
Well, he brought up Kenny as one that he likes because Kenny does what he's supposed to do.
Well, but
and
you
talks
guys
about
agree.
Basketball.
Players that are always saying they wanted it, they played harder than us. They wanted it more than we did. Rather than saying we stink, we didn't play well today, it's always about effort. So tell your players to change their narrative.
But also, you know, we're told this too. I mean, at least I was told this by program directors in the past. Like, Don, when you talk hockey, you get way too inside the numbers. You got to be able to dumb it down for the listeners. You're talking over everybody's head. I think that's sometimes how broadcasts go in the NBA is like there's a lot of young fans that maybe want to understand the game, but if you start really breaking it down into coach speak, then maybe a lot of viewers might not understand the game. So is it that they're not doing their job, or are they trying to explain it in a way that people that aren't basketball savants can understand it?
Also, can I tell you what, from an entertainment standpoint, boy, is that the most overrated concept. I guess he's saying that he wants it to be sort of like the NFL is when you hear a Dan Orlovsky or a Ryan Clark. And I love these guys. They do great work. But I don't know how you guys feel. The one time I check out on my sports analysis is when they start talking about it the way it's talked about in the locker room. Like they're specifically using language that you know keeps out the fan and is just for people who play the game. I don't need more of that in my NBA breakdowns. Frankly, I think the NBA is a lot easier to understand than football when it comes to actual gameplay, and it doesn't really require that.
Yeah, it's not that difficult, Sylvie. I mean,
yeah, we get it.
They shoot 53s a game.
Yeah, we know what's going on here.
So I love the Sylvie.
Sylvie's new.
I like it. Michael's broken out the Sylvie. Remember, November 14th. I like it. I don't want him referred to anything other than that.
Well, if he was baseball, he'd be Sylvie.
Well, he's basketball. He's Sylvie.
Well, I'm saying, but it's his Yankee name.
No, this would have happened a long day. If he would have
only been Sylvie.
Yeah, if he played for the Yankees, or anybody on baseball, he would be.
But
Sylvie.
You know, Gerrit Cole's never been Coley ever.
Well, there's a reason for that.
It doesn't work.
What's the reason?
It's Coley.
Coley's horrible. Well, what
suggests an exam. Maybe, you know,
Coley.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He's thinking Coley.
Oh, colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Like it's but nobody calls it a Coley.
No, you never heard that. You got a Coley this week?
When you said Coley, I just was like, I wouldn't want to be called that.
Well, there's a lot of guys that probably wouldn't want to be called their Y name.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Well, speaking of being called out of their name, Chris wants to defend me and says that Michael's a fraud.
Oh, wait, really? We're taking calls in the NFL?
To me, it feels like it's a pressing subject. Chris, what do you got?
So, first of all, that guy is a coward and took the easy way out. He could have actually said it with his chest and said why he doesn't like you. Instead, he just made his little passive-aggressive comment. Second of all, he calls into your show, says to your friend that he doesn't like him, and you defend him and not your friend, Michael, you're a fraud friend. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, I've got an answer for you, Chris, if you'd like to listen.
Strong, Chris.
You ready?
He's there. I didn't hang up on him.
If it happened in a bar, I would disengage with the guy and walk away. This is a radio show. We cannot afford to just turn away listeners because Peter's feelings got hurt. Sorry, my responsibility is to the show.
Oh, my God.
Peter's friend off the air.
It's good entertainment for you to stick up for your friend. And
well,
for
you know what?
I thought it was entertainment
for me to rip my friend.
Yeah, but that's
everything
still,
is entertaining.
But that still supports you being a fraud. You thought it was entertaining for you to be a fraud. He's saying it would have been entertaining for you to be a good friend.
I'd be a fraud if I made that up to just argue. I thought it was reprehensible that we hung up on a call.
Reprehensible?
Yeah.
Michael, you berate people over their Yankee takes. Berate them.
But I don't just hang up,
Michael,
in the middle of the...
This is one of the worst things you've ever done. But
yeah, it's horrible. This is a horrifying thing.
In the words of the great Don LaGreca, Chris, I do it again.
Love you. Bye, guys.
Bye, Chris.
Interesting. I do it again.
But you could be losing more people than gaining the guy you didn't hang up on.
Listen. Let's just throw all the cards on the table. Most of the people that don't like Peter because of their perceived thoughts of what his political leanings are. That's it. That's their issue. That's their issue. Right. We cannot get into it with them.
Fair enough.
We're going to lose them. You want to lose every listener?
No, I didn't have an argument. To lose every listener would be to have an argument about these perceived political
thoughts. But there's no way that people would look at you as a person, right? I was at a New York Athletic Club thing. So many people came up to me and liked me. Different people that you would never, that person wouldn't like Peter. They like Peter. You would not look at Peter as a personality and not like him. So the only reason people don't like him is because of his perceived political leanings. That's it. That's the way the country is now. Are we going to hang up on every one of those people?
No, because
most people wouldn't feel the need to throw it in your face that they don't like you. What are you talking about?
Those people would specifically say it. They hate your guts for what they perceive to be your political leanings. That's it.
No, but we didn't hang up on him because of his political leanings.
No,
we hung up on
him
because he singled
Peter out. That's why somebody wouldn't
out.
Like Peter. What, they don't like him because he likes the commies?
Well, that's back to my political leanings.
They like him because they probably think he is a commie.
Yeah, that's right.
They dislike him, I mean.
But by the way, it would have been just as entertaining for the sake of argument if you just decided, I'm going to be the friend of the year and rip this guy
for
being a bad guy.
But I wasn't looking to entertain. I was actually saying what I thought. I think it's the wrong thing to hang up on somebody like that. For that reason.
For the reason that it's alienating them as opposed to... this is an important philosophical question then. If someone has a disagreement with you and expresses it through, in my opinion, disrespect, is the only way on our side then to handle it for me to say, thank you very much, I'll have another?
No. First of all, it wasn't disrespect.
No,
it
was.
He did it in the most respectful way.
No.
He didn't give you the reason why he didn't like
you. No, but this is where we keep coming back. This is where the argument keeps circling around to. And this is where I believe our audience is going to firmly line up with where me and Don are, not where you are.
There were two callers that actually defended me. You took the one that hung on that thought I was wrong.
I didn't see the other people. I'm being called out. I didn't. Okay. But... you're saying it wasn't disrespect that he went, hey, Michael, love you, Don, love you. Anyways, you're saying that's not disrespect.
Could have gone under the wire, but Don doubled down by saying, no, you don't like Peter.
But you know why Don said that? Because he doesn't like Peter. No, because he heard the disrespect.
Yeah. He purposely singled Peter out. But hoping that I would ask, and so he could say, well, I don't like Peter.
You know what? I think it's time we talk about something else that's more important and sad. Besides Michael's poor friendship, which can come up, let's be honest, any day of the week.
You know what? You are excused from the show when Larry David comes up in January. If you think I'm a poor friend, you're out.
That's not how it works.
I don't think it's your call.
Yeah, that's I'm just. And by the way, La is going to go. Where's Peter?
He's contractually obligated to be here.
Yeah, I have to skip the show
he's
when La's here.
Contractually obligated to be here. Really? Sometimes he. Well, forget it.
Oh well, interesting.
Right back to where we started.
Now, we have to get serious for a second.
Yes.
Giving it a gap, a pause. So a man has been arrested now in the manslaughter of Adam Johnson. You guys, of course, heard this story a few weeks ago on the show. The former Penguin playing in a Champions Cup game in England, hockey that is, on October 28th, was killed when a player's blade of their skate went to his throat. He ended up bleeding out and dying at the game. And now he has been arrested on suspicion of manslaughter. Don, they didn't say who it is yet.
That's what I'm confused about. Matt Petgrave was the one that initiated the contact. It was his blade that cut the neck. So why isn't he arrested? Why is a man arrested?
Well, but it says on the Yes Chiron right now that Matt Petgrave was arrested and charged.
Oh, but Peter just read it as
Story. It says according to the story I have, it says the South Yorkshire Police did not name the suspect, but everyone knows that the only person it could be.
I don't believe he's underage, so I don't know why that story there would say a man. When I read it earlier, it said a man, so I guess they updated it. So
no, Yes might be a little ahead of itself because it doesn't say. I'm looking at the latest thing on ESPN. Well, that was at 12:44.
Yeah, maybe Yes just saw it and is assuming because it's the only thing that makes sense. But they're saying unnamed.
But it's weird that it's unnamed. So I don't know who else would have been arrested.
Don, it's not our job to decide what happened. I watched it too many times. To me, it is unfathomable that it was the contact was an accident. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that the person thought, I'm going to go ahead and murder someone right now. But it did absolutely look like an intentional action, which, Don, if that's true, would make manslaughter the proper charge.
Manslaughter would be the charge, and you would be arrested for that. Now, this happened a few weeks ago, so clearly there was an investigation other than the grainy video that we saw here in the States that led them to believe there's enough evidence to arrest them. I can't imagine they'd be able to get a conviction unless they've got something that says, I want to kill him. Or I want to hurt him.
Well,
otherwise you're going to have to break down the video and say, was there intent to injure him?
Well, but I'm no lawyer, but I do play one on television. If you were the lawyer in this case, wouldn't you show the footage and then talk to experts about what hockey plays look like and ask if this is possible? Have you ever seen it before?
Yeah, I mean,
when does this happen?
Right now, maybe I have never seen it before, but you would have to then prove that this went above and beyond the hockey play. Now, if I check you into the boards and God forbid you die, should I be charged with manslaughter?
No,
if I committed
a
hockey act?
That's a regular
hockey
act. Now,
the fact that his leg kicked up, I need to know why it did. Now, if he can prove he lost his balance and that's why his leg went up, I would think it'd be a very difficult thing to prove, but I don't know. There's no way he can get convicted for murder. But manslaughter is an accidental death based on something that you committed. Maybe there's enough there to do that.
Other than if there's a preconceived, not preconceived, but if there's something between the two that we don't know about, what kind of psychopath would do that on purpose?
Well, that's what I think. What I'm saying is, well, first of all, I would be a real psychopath. But yeah, Michael, maybe he just meant to kick him, like in the chest, like I'm going to knock him over in some way.
He wasn't hitting, he was hitting somebody else. And then it looked like he was losing his balance and his leg kicked up. It's not anything that I've seen before. It's not something that I think any hockey player would do to regain balance.
No.
Kind of looked like, to me, he wanted to get a piece of him. So is that enough for manslaughter?
Probably, if they could prove that part of it. Lastly, guys, really, it's an awful story. Lastly, guys, Zion Williamson early in the season not seeming so happy in New Orleans.
You know, like I said last year, you know, we had a team meeting, and it was brought up some things that I could do better, especially like with buying into the program. And right now it's tough right now, but like I said, right now I'm taking a little back seat right now, and I'm trusting the process. I'm trying my best to buy in right now.
Did he come off the marathon course?
He had just finished the New York Marathon. That is correct.
They've lost five in a row, but they still are a 10 seed. They're 4-6. It's still early in the season, but
Skip Schumacher, manager of the year in the National League.
All right, we're going to say goodbye to Yes and say that was ENN, brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. Go see Michelle Scalise, grab a t-shirt, and come get some during the Black Friday sales event.
Come get some.
Your call probably wins the Cy Young tomorrow. We'll have all of that and more. Dan Orlovsky, Would You Wednesday. See everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.